ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
We're going to read from Bhagavad Gita chapter 6 text 32
Atma
Apamena
Savatra
Samam Pashyati
Ya
Arjuna
Sukam
Va
Yadi
Va
Dukam
Sa
Yogi
Parama
Atma Pam Nirasa Vatra
Samam Pashyati Yojana Sukam Vayadi Vadukam Sa Yogi Paramo Mata Atma Pam Nirasa Vatra
Samam Pashyati Yojana
Sukam Vayadi Vadukam Sayogi Paramo Matah
Atma Pam Yena Sarvatra
Samam Pashyati Yojana
Sukam Vayadi Vadukam
Sayogi Paramo Matah
Atma Pam Yena Sarvatra
Samam Pashyati Yojana
Sukam Vayadi Vadukam
Sayogi Paramo Matah
Sukam Vayadi Vadukam
Sayogi Paramo Matah
Atma Upamyena Sarvatra
Samam Pashyati Yojana
Sukam Vayadi Vadukam
Sayogi Paramo Matah
Atma Upam Yena Sarvatra
Samam Pashyati Yo Arjuna
Sukam Vayadi Vadukam Sayogi Paramo Matah
Atma Upam Yena Sarvatra
Samam Pashyati Yo Arjuna
Sukam Vayadi Vadukam
Sayogi Paramo Matah
Atma Upam Yena Sarvatra
Samam Pashyati Yo Arjuna
Sukam Vayadi Vadukam
Sayogi Paramo Matah
Atma Upam Yena Sarvatra
आत्मोऽहम् येन सर्वत्र.
समं पश्यति यो अर्जुन.
सुखं वा यदि वा दुःखम्.
स योगी परमो मतः.
आत्मा विथ हिज सेल्फ.
विथ हिज सेल्फ.
औपम्येन. By comparison.
By comparison.
Sabatra.
Sabatra.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Samam.
Samam.
Equally.
Equally.
Pashyati.
Pashyati.
Sees.
Sees.
Ya.
Ya.
He who.
He who.
Arjuna.
Arjuna.
O Arjuna.
O Arjuna.
Sukam.
Sukam.
Happiness.
Happiness.
Va.
Va.
Or.
Or.
Yadi.
Yadi.
If.
If.
Va.
Va.
Or.
Or.
Dukam.
Dukam.
Distress.
Distress.
Sa.
Sa.
Such.
Such.
Yogi.
Yogi.
A transcendentalist.
A transcendentalist.
Parama.
Parama.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Mata.
Mata.
Is considered.
Is considered.
Translation: he is a perfect yogi who, by comparison to his own self, sees the true equality of all beings in both their happiness and their distress, O Arjuna. Again, repeat after me. He is a perfect yogi.
He is a perfect yogi.
Who, by comparison to his own self,
who, by comparison to his own self,
sees the true equality of all beings.
Sees the true equality of all beings.
In both their happiness and their distress.
In both their happiness and their distress.
O Arjuna.
O Arjuna.
Purport. One who is Krishna conscious is a perfect yogi. He is aware of everyone's happiness and distress by dint of his own personal experience. The cause of the distress of a living entity is forgetfulness of his relationship with God. And the cause of happiness is knowing Krishna to be the supreme enjoyer of all the activities of the human being, the proprietor of all lands and planets, and the sincerest friend of all living entities. The perfect yogi knows that the living being who is conditioned by the modes of material nature is subjected to the threefold material miseries due to forgetfulness of his relationship with Krishna. And because one in Krishna consciousness is happy, he tries to distribute the knowledge of Krishna everywhere. Since the perfect yogi tries to broadcast the importance of becoming Krishna conscious, he is the best philanthropist in the world, and he is the dearest servitor of the Lord. Achatasman manushesu kashchin me priyakritama. Bhagavad Gita 18:69. In other words, a devotee of the Lord always looks to the welfare of all living entities, and in this way he is factually the friend of everyone. He is the best yogi because he does not desire perfection in yoga for his personal benefit, but tries for others also. He does not envy his fellow living entities. Here is a contrast between the pure devotee of the Lord and a yogi interested only in his personal elevation. The yogi who is withdrawn to a secluded place in order to meditate perfectly may not be as perfect as a devotee who is trying his best to turn every man toward Krishna consciousness. Om Agyanata Mirandasya Inandana Sarakaya Chakshu Unmini Tamina Tasmai Shri Guru Vemaha Pukam Paroti Vachukam Pangut Mangaya Te Gali Yakri Bhattama Hambande Shri Guru Munitana Nama Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Kiti Namne Namaste Sarasvati Devi Guru Vani Kucharane Yirvishesha Sanyavali Pasuchyade Sutarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastava Gauravata Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. These are Krishna's words to Arjuna, and interestingly, he's describing one of the characteristics of someone who's a perfect yogi. Now, of course, But Krishna makes a statement about a perfect yogi. We have to accept on the basis of our conviction that the speaker of Bhagavad Gita is the Supreme Lord. And because he is the Supreme Absolute Truth, by definition, Sri Bhagavan, therefore, whatever he says is truth. Atapuratanam nanyatinchidasti dhanjaya, says everything rests upon me, just as pearls strung on a thread. So in the same way, the whole entire cosmic manifestation, material and spiritual worlds, they're all resting on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is both its origin, source of maintenance, and its dissolution of everything within creation. There is no greater truth than him, and he is established in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Janmadhyaya Shaja, Yatonvayadhitalichastrateshwabhigyaswarat, as the absolute truth. So naturally, the absolute truth, when he speaks, he cannot speak a lie. He speaks the truth. And therefore, the statement that he's making here, he's describing the characteristics of a perfect yogi. We may entertain sometimes thoughts of a perfect yogi, of a person who sits in deep meditation, and by result of his deep meditation, he becomes conscious of his own self, and he becomes conscious of his spiritual nature, and he becomes detached from the physical world, and by dint of his severe austerities and penances. But Srila Prabhupada explains right here in the commentary, he says that here's a contrast between a pure devotee of the Lord and a yogi interested only in his own personal elevation. The yogi who is withdrawn to a secluded place in order to meditate perfectly may not be as perfect as a devotee who is trying his best to turn every man toward Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Prabhupada is explaining the intent which Krishna is making in this verse, whereby he's stating that the perfect yogi is one who, by comparison to his own self, he sees the true equality of all living beings in both their happiness and distress. Now, what does this mean? Does it mean, well, if I see the true equality of all living beings, it means that if I see what makes me happy, then that same activity will make others happy? So someone may say, I see having others serve me makes me happy. So, therefore, I'll make others happy by letting them serve me. So, obviously, this is not what Krishna is saying, equating my own happiness to the happiness of others, because whatever happiness I get at the expense of others' happiness, that's not true equality towards all living beings. Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Vijivanaya Sampani Brahmani Gavihasani Suni Chaivas Pupakicha Pandita Samadarshana. That Samadarshana, to see everyone equal, the humble sage, by virtue of true wisdom, he sees the elephant, the cow, the dog eater, and the Brahmin, he sees them all equally. Why does he see them all equally? Because he sees them all as spirit souls. He sees them all in terms of their eternal relationship with the Supreme, that they're all parts and parcels of Krishna. He sees the elephant, the dog, the cow, the dog eater, and the Brahmin. He sees them equally because he knows that within the heart of every living being is also the Supersoul, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, manifest as the all-knowing Paramatma in the heart of every living entity. And therefore, because he's in the heart of every living entity, every living entity, whether he's a Brahmin, whether he's an elephant, he's a cow, a dog, or a dog eater, every living entity has a relationship with the Supreme. So when Krishna says that the perfect yogi, who comparison to himself, sees the true equality of all living beings in both his happiness and distress, what he means is that the perfect yogi is one who sees that my happiness is not from extracting from others. My happiness is not from taking service from others. My happiness is not by exploiting others. My happiness is actually derived from a different source. My happiness that I experience, my happiness is when I'm seeing everything connected to Krishna. That is my happiness. Seeing everything connected to Krishna means I see myself connected to Krishna. I see all living entities connected to Krishna. In the Ishopanishad, it states that one who sees all living entities as spiritual sparks and quality one with the Lord becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? So, this is spiritual vision. This is Samadarshana. That means everyone, in whatever species of life and whatever status of life, everyone gets an opportunity to render service to Krishna. Who is it? Somebody was just said about somebody recently. Is he equal opportunity employer? Was that said about UPI? He chastises everyone. Krishna's an equal opportunity employer. He's ready to accept the service of every living being, not based upon their external qualifications, but he actually, because every living being, part and parcel and constitutionally by nature, is a servant of the Supreme Personality of God. Therefore, one who is a perfect yogi, he sees that others are also Krishna's children. Krishna says, Aham Bija Pradapita, I am the seed-giving father of all living beings. So he sees all living beings as Krishna's children. And Krishna's children are not meant for my exploitation. Krishna's children are meant to give pleasure to Krishna. So, in both my happiness and distress, Krishna Prabhupada has explained here, the perfect yogi, he sees, he knows what brings him happiness. What brings him happiness is when Krishna is pleased. This is real happiness. There's three types of happiness as defined in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Three types of happiness. There's a happiness derived from sense gratification. There's a happiness derived from relief from distress. There's a happiness derived from your devotional service. These are three types of happiness. Happiness derived from sense gratification. This is not the kind of happiness as Krishna is talking about when he says that he sees the true equality of all living beings in both their happiness and distress. He sees that happiness derived from sense gratification is actually suffering. He's suffering. Why? Because he understands that any happiness which is derived from sense gratification will have to lead to suffering for the conditioned soul. Even a five-year-old boy, Prahlad Maharaj, understood this. Prahlad Maharaj, when he was speaking to his five-year-old friends, he says, in the material world, every living entity is endeavoring for happiness, and he's trying to mitigate his distress, and therefore he acts accordingly. Actually, however, one can be happy as long as he doesn't endeavor for happiness, because as soon as he endeavors for happiness, he creates all his conditions for his future distress. That's the consequence of pursuing happiness for sense. It may give some flickering pleasure, but the consequence, it must lead to distress. It's the laws of nature. There's no avoiding it. Someone may question, where did this distress come from? But one who's in perfect knowledge knows that distress comes from forgetting Krishna. That's where distress comes. Therefore, he doesn't think that, why should I give happiness to others simply to temporarily gratify their senses? That's going to lead them to distress. I know by my own experience. I know by my own experience that when I forget Krishna and I try to enjoy separate from him, I suffer. And because they're Krishna's children, they also will suffer if I simply gratify their senses temporarily in the name of giving them happiness. He's not a yogi, he's a bogey. One who thinks in this way. He's a bogey. He simply is thinking of his own enjoyment, and he's thinking, oh yes, let me give enjoyment to others, because if I give enjoyment to others, then they'll give enjoyment to me. Which is, of course, unfortunately, is the consciousness in the material world. In fact, when Lord Nrisimhadev wanted to offer a benediction to Prahlad Maharaj, Lord Nrisimhadev was trying to offer him a benediction, and Prahlad Maharaj, being the perfect yogi, saw all the true equality of all living beings, such true equality of all living beings he saw, is that he was thinking, I don't want to even be liberated. I don't want to go back to the spiritual world unless I can take everyone else back first. Let them go before me. That was his Samadarshana. That was his spiritual vision. I want to make you happy, Lord Nrisingadeva. And he was praying in this way. So when Lord Nrisingadeva was trying to offer a benediction to Prahlad, Prahlad Maharaj's response to that, to that benediction, or to that request to accept a benediction, was, oh Lord, why are you tempting me? Don't you know I was born in a family of demons? Prahlad was born in a family, he was a great devotee, but he happened to be born in a family of demons. His father was Aranyakashipu. He said, don't tempt me by offering me something. He said, I simply am your servant. If you want to give me a benediction, then you be my master and let me be your servant. He said, because if I simply do some service for you and then you give some service to me, that's like a mercantile affair. I don't want to be, I'm not a mercantile, I'm not a merchant. I'm not serving you to get something in return. My satisfaction is simply in your pleasure. Don't tempt me in this way. If you really want to give me a benediction, then you be my master and let me be your servant, birth after birth. This was Prahlad's response. So we should not, in the same way he's teaching by his example, we should be very careful that to come to the spiritual platform means that first we have to see Krishna in everything. If we see Krishna in everything, then we can see the true quality of all living beings. As Prabhupada says, if one wants to see himself in the morning, first he has to see the sun. Otherwise, it's complete darkness. When the sun comes up, then he can see himself, his reflection in the mirror. But he has to wait for the sun, of course, to turn on the light. But references in terms of for those who don't have light. You're dependent upon the sun, which is the source of all light. So when he sees the sun, then he can see himself. And not only can he see himself, but he can see everyone else as well. So in the same way, to see all living entities, at first, one has to see the Supreme Lord. And Prahlad Maharaj, he told his friends, a very nice verse, Tato Haral Bhagavati Bhaktin Kurvanti Danava. He says, oh my dear friends, he was speaking to his five-year-old friends, they were all sons of demons, so he said, Danava. He said, Tato Haral Bhagavati Bhaktin Kurvanti Danava. Oh my dear friends, oh sons of demons, he said. He says, in the same way that one sees himself, the same favorable way that one sees himself and takes care of himself, in the same way, take the devotional service and render service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul in the heart of all living entities. What is Prahlad telling his friends? He's saying, in the same favorable way that one sees himself, with the same energy that we use to take care of ourselves, to see to our own happiness, to see to our own comforts, to see to our immediate needs, to see to our long-term needs. You know, oftentimes, you know, we can become absorbed and to create a whole universe on taking care of ourselves. And Prahlad Maharaj is telling his five-year-old friends, in the same way that you see yourself, use that same mentality for serving the Supreme Lord. Use that same mentality for serving the Supersoul, who's in the heart of all living beings. Because if you serve the Supreme Lord, then the Lord, who is the Supersoul in the heart of all living entities, who is the provider of all material and spiritual worlds, who is the source of everything material and spiritual, who is maintaining Nitya Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam, who is maintaining all living entities in the whole creation anyways, then when one actually renders service to the Lord, then, as Prabhupada says, it's like watering the root of the tree. When you water the root of the tree, then all the leaves and the branches, everything simultaneously, they benefit simply by going to the root. But if you go to each leaf independently and try to satisfy the leaf, you can't satisfy the leaf. It's like the person, the bogey, who tries to satisfy,
give some sense gratification to someone else and get some sense gratification back. It's like going to the leaf. But Krishna consciousness means how to become a yogi. And yogi doesn't mean one has to perform such severe austerities and penances. This is the beauty of Bhagavad Gita. This is the beauty of Bhagavad Gita as it is. That one can become a perfect yogi simply if he dedicates his ears and his tongue to hearing about the instructions, the glories, and the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which in themselves are virtuous when properly heard and chanted. And when one hears these transcendental narrations, assimilates it, and begins to understand that, yes, I am an eternal soul. I don't really have a permanent connection to this world. My friends, my family, society, they're also spirit souls. They've also temporarily accepted material bodies. And they've come, they've appeared. And let me serve them. Let me express my love to them. Let me give them the best. Give them the best. Why should I give them something secondary? Yes, I take care of their needs. They're my family, they're my friends, I help them. But if I really want to help them and give them happiness, let me give them the best. And the best is, let me remind them about their relationship with Krishna. That is the best. Because that's what gives them happiness. And the beauty of such great yogis, the beauty is that by giving others this kind of happiness, one automatically becomes happy. This is how to become happy. In fact, it makes me think of the story in Chaitanya Charitamrita of Kurma the Brahmin. Kurma was a householder. He had family responsibilities. And when he met Lord Chaitanya, he was thinking, I want to give everything up and I want to join Lord Chaitanya and go with him and leave all his responsibilities behind. He approached the Lord and asked him, please, I want to leave everything and simply join you. And Lord Chaitanya instructed, what, you foolish? Why do you have to give up your household life? Yari deka tari kaka krishna upadesh amara yari guru hana tari desh. Is, I instruct you that the best way you can be renounced in this world is not by giving up your family responsibilities, but with whatever you're doing, yari deki tari kaka krishna upadesh, you simply tell everybody about Krishna. You become spiritual master. Instruct others. Tell them about the teachings of Lord Krishna and Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And deliver others. You'll become happy. And what did Lord Chaitanya tell Kurma the Brahmin? You will find no obstacles whatsoever in your household of life. Those are his words. His words. You will find no obstacles in your household of life. Because you'll become happy. Because you're making others happy. Not by giving them temporary gratification, but you're making others happy by giving them an opportunity to get the same happiness that you're getting from service to Krishna. You're giving others the opportunity to experience the same taste of bhakti. And that makes Krishna very happy. Prabhupada quotes here. He says, since the perfect yogi tries to broadcast the importance of becoming Krishna conscious, he is the best philanthropist in the world. And he is the dearest servitor of the Lord. Nachatasman manusheshu kashchin me priyakritama. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yaidam paramanguyam mahbhakteshva vidyashati. For one who explains the secret to others, for him, he gets devotional service. It's guaranteed to him. And at the end, he comes back to me. Nachatasman manusheshu kashchin me priyakritama. Krishna says, there's no servant in this world who is more dear to me than he. Nor will there ever be anyone who's more dear. How to become dear to Krishna? This is the beauty of Krishna's teachings in Bhagavad Gita. This is the beauty of his message to Arjuna. This is the beauty of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, is that one doesn't have to renounce to become renounced. One simply has to accept what is it that's pleasing to the Lord. How to please the Lord in all my activities. How to get this taste, this glimpse of reality that I'm a servant of Krishna. It comes what Prahlad Maharaj says, with the same energy we use to do something for ourselves, the same way, plot, plan, strategize, do something for Krishna's pleasure. Prabhupada gives an example in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He gives the example of the person who is drowning in the river. So then the person is in the waves of the river, then sometimes he gets caught up in the waves of the river and he's drowned. And the waves of the river are much stronger than him. He cannot do anything to overcome the waves of the river. He says the waves of the river, though, they enter into the ocean. And the waves, when the waves they enter into the ocean, being more powerful than the river, will push back the influence of the river. So in the same way, he gives this example to show that everybody in the material world is making plans for sense gratification. Everyone is making plans. That's our nature. We have to have some plan. He says, but when a devotee makes plans for Krishna, then making plans for Krishna is like taking shelter of the ocean. Making plans for sense gratification is like drowning in the river. But when you make plans for Krishna, it is like taking shelter of the ocean, and the ocean, which pushes back the influence of the waves of the river. In the same way, Krishna pushes back the influence of the obstacles of the material energy. And to show his devotee that, yes, this is the right path, to make plans for me. Make plans to do something for me. All that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, the austerities that you perform, Krishna says, do it for me. Even a little plan. It doesn't have to be something very great. Sometimes we think, well, the only thing I could be, if I want to be recognized by Krishna, I have to do something very great, something that everybody will take notice of. But Krishna doesn't take notice of something that's very great. What's very great externally may not necessarily be the criteria of something very great in Krishna's eyes. Krishna accepted a palmful of broken rice from Sudama Brahman, and he considered that to be the greatest gift he could possibly receive. It was more relishable than the nectar, than coming from the hands of the goddess of fortune. Those palmful of broken rice grains at Sudama Brahman. Why? Because Krishna sees his bhava grahi janadani. He sees the essence of a person's attitude. He sees, oh, he's doing this for me. However big or small. And that is what Sudama Brahman said when he went home and he was meditating on his visit to the Lord, and he was thinking, the Lord is so kind that the Lord magnifies even the smallest amount of insignificant service and makes it to something very, very big. He magnifies something very small, that external point of view, but makes it very, very big. So he sees what's big for the Lord is the desire in the heart. That's what's big. When one has a desire to do something to please him, not for myself, not to simply get back some position, power, profit, sense gratification, but to do it for the Lord. That's what the Lord sees. He knows what's going on in the heart. He's the super soul in the heart of all living beings. And he understands the intent of the worshipper, that the intent is to please the Lord. He immediately says, Ananyas chintayatomam yajinapayupashante tesham nityabhyupanam yogakshema bahamyam. I'm ready to help you. I'm ready to help you. You'll undergo so many obstacles in your efforts to do something for me. But you take one step to me, I'll take 100 steps to you. I will help you. This is how one actually begins to experience happiness in Krishna consciousness. This is how one aspires to become a perfect yogi, not simply by sitting in a secluded place and meditating, but by taking this message of Krishna consciousness, embracing it in one's own life, whether one is a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, is irrelevant. That one simply embraces these teachings in one's own life and helps others to understand the message of Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is what Krishna is saying in this verse. Atma pamina savatra samam pashati yojana sukham vayariva dukham sa yogi paramo mataha. That he is a perfect yogi who, by comparison to his own self,
sees the true equality of all beings in both their happiness and their distress. O Arjuna. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Maharaj, thanks for such a nice lecture. So you said we should give the Krishna, we should talk about Krishna to, we should give Krishna to others. We should not try to please them with the other desires that they have. But in this world, most of the people are not very receptive to when we talk about the philosophy.
Prabhupada already addressed that point. The yogi who is withdrawn to a secluded place in order to meditate perfectly may not be as perfect as the devotee who is trying his best to turn every man toward Krishna consciousness. He's trying his best. Not everyone will take. If they don't take, then one of the offenses to the holy name is to preach the glories of the holy name of the Lord to the faithless. If they're not interested in it, they become offensive. We don't tell them. We give them prasadam. But he still tries his best.
But to our close family and friends, like, if they still desire the other things that they want them for their Sanskrit education,
then we teach by our example. Because we know better. And don't try to force them, but we teach by our example. If they're not ready to accept it, then don't force them. But teach by your example. How you be happy. Prabhupada explains in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the verse, the prayer by Prahlad Maharaj. He's praying to Lord Nrisimhadeva and he's saying that may all living entities become pacified. May they all become free from envy by engaging in devotional service to the Supreme Lord and meditating on the Supreme Lord. And Prabhupada explains in the commentary that the symptom of a non-envious person is that he's liberal in his dealings with others, but he's strict with himself. But he's liberal with others. He's liberal. He knows that if he's strict with himself, then that's the best way to teach. But he doesn't try to force others who are not ready to accept yet. He doesn't force them, because bhakti is voluntary. You can't force bhakti. But you can teach. That's why Lord Chaitanya came. It's exactly the reason why he came. If you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, he said, for a long time, people have not understood the mood of the residents of the spiritual world in Vrindavan. I have to come and I have to teach myself. This is because unless I come to teach myself, nobody will know what's the path to follow. So he came instead of the Supreme Lord in Kali Yuga. He came to teach as a devotee because he knew that unless there's an example, nobody will want to follow. So in the same way, he said, let me teach by my example. And the same way he was teaching others, that we should learn how to teach by our example also. But we don't force, but we attract. Instead of forcing our family members who are not attracted, who are not unwilling to take, then we try to share our enthusiasm for doing the devotional activities that we ourselves are deriving great happiness from. That's not forcing. We're getting great happiness. And we want to share it. So we try to enthuse them to experience the happiness we're experiencing. But force it? We can't force. We can't force bhakti. We can only attract. So we attract by example. At least we know that bhakti is superior. And that's how we try our best. Did that answer your question? Anything else?
Okay. Mother, I have a question. you mentioned like a happiness derived by three ways: sense gratification, devotee.
Excuse me.
Sense gratification, happiness derived by sense gratification, devotees, and one more did you mention? What is it?
Relief from suffering.
Relief from suffering.
Relief from suffering. The happiness derived, liberation.
Thank you.
Yes. But that's not real happiness. It's only temporary. Aruya kushchena param padam tata padam titulya padam. They fall down from that position of liberation because they still haven't taken shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. That is real shelter. That is real happiness. Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Bhagavad Gita ki jai.
Swami ki jai.